Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow,
mad cow,
mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sunrise Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. Really quickly, some show notes. If you're looking for some wrestling this week, tonight, WCWO happening in Indianapolis as usual, PSW in Piedmont, Alabama, EWF in Corvina, California, Hood Slam in Oakland, California, PWF in London, Kentucky, NSCW in Hardin, Kentucky, PWAES in Melvindale, Michigan, D2W in Wharton, New Jersey, and RCCW in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Tomorrow night, HPW in Columbus, Indiana, WCWC up here in Portland, Oregon for a television taping, MPW in Edmonton, Alberta, PWA in Auburn, Illinois, RIPW in Somerset, Kentucky, ICW in Marion, Indiana, New Wave Pro in Terre Haute, Indiana, LPW in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and tomorrow night, XWE in Nelsonville, Ohio. All of that out of the way, I'd like to bring on our guest today. He is also out of the state of Indiana. Welcome to the show, Jason Hex.
Oh, dude, great to have. Thanks for having me, and killer intro. I'm still cracking up.
Well, we
tried
our best.
I loved it.
Well, since today's your first day with us, we are going to give you the first timer's question to start. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
What got me? It was more of a kind of like family. My uncle did it. I did it. My dad did it. My brothers all did it. I was just the next one to go.
Being out of a wrestling family, there's a lot of second and third generation wrestlers in your area. A lot of them are doing very well. What is it like being multi-generation in the business? Do you think it's easier or maybe a little bit harder to make it as a multi-generation wrestler?
The way I look at it, being the whole multi-generational thing, is it has its moments. On sometimes, yeah, I got to bust my ass because there's some big shoes to fill. And then other days, it has its perks. It does. It has its perks, but a lot of the time it does. And I got to prove to people, hey, just because I know people or who I'm related to, I actually earned to be here.
Like I was saying, there are a lot of second and third generation wrestlers just in the state of Indiana even. Why do you think that it's so prevalent in your area to see multi-generations coming up?
Really, a lot of it in this area. It's a good place to work. The promotions are amazing to work with. You got guys out here with like RCW with Jerry Wilson, amazing guy. Yeah, we have some heat, but we can get more to that later in the interview. But amazing place to work. Guys, Eric King with PWK, like you were saying, the HPW show, I think it was tomorrow, that's amazing place to work with too, with the second generation people. It's a good place to get booked, and it's a good place to get pushed, and it's a good place to actually get work.
That is all very true. Now, in your career, I know that you've done a lot of outdoor shows as well as indoor shows.
Yeah.
Sometimes those pose a little bit different circumstances than the indoor shows. what do you feel about outdoor shows personally, and do you think that there are, in general, more obstacles to overcome in order to put on a show outdoors?
Yeah, I would agree with that, and it's just the atmosphere towards everything is a little bit harder to work with, but it can have its moments too. It can be a lot easier to work with. The people could be in it, or they could be completely and totally dead. I mean, it really, compared to the inside show, I would prefer working that, but I've also done a lot of the outside, because I've done, over the past couple of years, I went towards the more violent side of wrestling, so it was a lot more outdoor shows, because a lot of places wouldn't let us inside.
Speaking of the more violent aspects of wrestling, blood has become sort of a hot topic in wrestling in the last few years because a lot of commissions have cracked down on it. A lot of people are more leery of getting bloodborne illnesses during a match. What's your personal opinion on blood and how it relates to wrestling in today's landscape?
In today's landscape, I understand where they're coming at with everything. You don't know what you can get from somebody gigging wrong, or if they gig too much or not enough. You don't know what you get from it. I can end up with something, but it hasn't happened yet, thank God. But in my opinion, just because of the fact that you're bleeding doesn't mean the fact that it's not an excuse for me not to work. The blood aspect in the match just makes the match a little bit more exciting, to the point where the people are going to come and watch this again. And that's the reason why I do it. I do this because it's a job, almost to the point. It's not a happy. It's what I do, man. I don't flip burgers. I get bloody and I fight. That's about it.
I'm sure you've had your share of injuries as well, being in the more violent type of federations. What's some of the injuries that you've had to overcome?
I mean, just recently, I worked one yesterday. There's a nasty little bruise around, I don't know what that is, on my arm. It hurts, but I've had brain damage, actually. I fell off a cage, and I hit a guardrail on the side of my head. I was out for like a week.
Yeah, I want to say out of the ring or out of consciousness?
I fell out of consciousness. What it was is I was doing a cage match, and I went up to the top, and the guy who was doing it was more of an attitude thing towards Hex, because, like I was telling you earlier, Hex tend to got a name not like big, but towards the respect over the behind-the-curtain aspect, and the guy didn't like it, so he didn't connect the cage at all, so I had one whole wall that was just sitting there. When I went up to the top to do an elbow drop, the whole wall fell down, and I fell to the outside, and then I smacked the guardrail, and I was out for a week unconscious.
That's a rough day at the office.
That's a very rough day. I was out for a minute. Trust me. I was at a young age, and my mom sat me down, and you're done. No, I'm not.
We talked about the outdoor venues.
Yeah.
And you also do a lot of the indoor venues. In just your own personal opinion, what's your favorite venue for pro wrestling that you've had the pleasure of going to so far?
That I've ever had the pleasure of going to so far? Hold on, there's tons of them. Like preference out here or just anywhere in general?
Anywhere in general.
Anywhere in general, I loved working the VFW lodge down in Logansport for IWF with TJ Powers and Dice Man, Ronnie Vegas, or however you pronounce him. And I used to work Cutter and Kincaid down there. And then my all-time favorite would actually have to be actually up here, the whole Eagles Lodge, before we stopped doing shows out of there for RCW.
Yep, I can see all that.
I would have loved to work.
Aid, who's just now being inducted into the Hall of Fame, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And I would have loved working before they shut down. I think it was WCWO, and I would have loved it in the aspect of it when they were out. I would have loved working there because they had their own arena, and I think Hex would have got over pretty good. Whatever. OCWA,
they actually run every Friday still.
WCWO. I've been offered to come down, and I never went because, like I said, it's kind of a touchy subject. Like, if you talk to Owen and you mention Hex's name, everybody could tell you some stories.
I will do that. I talk to him on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah, bring up the aspect of Hex, and he can tell you some stories about Hex.
That is on my to-do list the next time I talk to Kid. Well, at this point, my co-host QT is standing by. I know QT has some questions, so I'm going to pass things to him for a bit.
That works for me.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Jason.
What's up, man?
Jason, I saw your YouTube video entitled OWW, Columbine versus Hex, Dark Match 3.
That was nice.
What's that?
Sorry, I'm sorry to cut you off. No, that was my birthday. That was my birthday.
It's your birthday today?
No, that match was taped. It was my birthday party, and I didn't even know they were doing it. It was wrestling. That's all I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was just I knew that was gonna come up, and I knew it. That match was terrible. That match was terrible.
I thought it was pretty good.
No, you don't gotta lie to me. It's all right. No,
my first question is, was this the third match in a trilogy of matches between you and Columbine?
Yes, this will actually, we're supposed to be working again, actually legitly coming up. Me and him kind of have towards of a, he's one of my best friends, and we just try to see who can knock each other out first. And then Hicks always cheats in the end. If you watch the video, I kicked him in the face, or knee him in the face. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry to cut you off, man. Hex is a talker. Don't be afraid to just say, shut up, Hex.
Oh, I would never do that. Is it true that Columbine is indeed named after Columbine High School in Colorado?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes,
oh, okay.
he got the idea for the name. It's I'm going to use your bringing up some past. All right. he got the idea of just sitting there, just normal, and he's got a weird fascination with just violence in general, and he was cool with it and everything.
I see.
Yeah.
Violence in general.
Does
he have a lot of videos of great white shark attacks on various beaches throughout the world?
Oh, man. See, I wish Columbine was here right now because I'd bring up something and it'd be funny. And I love making fun of him and picking on him. And it's just, he's just one of those guys that it's fun to pick on, but then you get sick of it, but then you do it again anyway just because it's funny.
Oh, well, that's quite the farmer's tan that he has.
A little bit. Yeah.
He had quite the tan in your Dark Match 3.
Don't touch my leg when I'm on a phone. Sorry, I'm sitting with the family. We actually just got done training, and now we're sitting eating.
Oh, okay. I'm going to guess that you're eating mashed potatoes and gravy.
No, I'm actually eating a Whopper Jr., but thanks. That sounds amazing.
Oh, Whopper Jr. Oh, okay.
Are you cooking dinner tonight?
Who, me?
Yeah, dude, you're offering mashed potatoes and gravy and corn. I mean,
yes. Well, I think Sign Guy is going to fix me up with a bagel and lox. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I think he is. Okay. Well, now, was that Columbine's silver truck in the background of this match?
That actually was. And it's a really funny thing, too. The only reason why they did it is that was actually a police officer's truck. Columbine was arrested after the match as soon as we were done.
Whoa, he was arrested after the match on what charges?
Some charges in the past. I really don't, just out of respect to Columbine. I won't bring him up. But They were good enough to the point where the police officers were cool afterwards. It was my birthday. They were like, look, dude, you can wrestle with your brother, but we're taking him as soon as it's done.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it was, that's why the match got posted. Yeah, it's garbage. We make fun about it every day, but it's just one of those, like, yeah, it's cool.
Well, I got to tell you, that was a nice silver truck with the extended cab. And the bed of the truck that was nicely covered in a canopy. Very nice.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, Jason, has anyone told you that you bear a striking resemblance to Chris Jericho? And if so, are you a big fan of his band Fozzy?
Has anybody told me I look like Chris Jericho? No. No, but I'm a really big fan of Fozzy. I've never heard that. I have a buddy who looks like Seth Rogen. I have a buddy who looks like Seth Rogen.
Oh, Seth Rogen. Okay.
He's terrible with jokes, though. They don't act the same. And then he starts talking about Disney, and then it just gets weird.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm sorry. He's sitting right next to me. I have to pick on him a little bit.
Oh, well, you know, Columbine bore, in my opinion, bore a kind of a slight resemblance to Sam the Eagle on The Muppet Show. Yes.
That's funny.
Well, you know, there was Fozzie, you know, and I just thought of Fozzie Bear on The Muppet Show.
Oh, man, that's funny. I'm going to probably tell him that tonight.
Oh, okay. We'll tell him in the highest regards and respect. You know, Sam the Eagle himself is kind of a controversial, how would you say, subject. Yes, Sam the Eagle.
I'm sorry?
Sam the Eagle. I mean that, and tell Columbine, I mean that in the highest regards.
Okay.
Sam the Eagle. Yes.
I would be sure to tell him. That was pretty funny. Oh, man.
Jason, at the 505 mark, if you freeze the video, you have one hand on his lower chest and upper stomach area in one of the more casual pin attempts that I have seen in 2 years. In fact, this pin attempt may be ranked number 2 in casualness since October of 2014. In hindsight, should you have hooked a leg because at the count of 2, he managed to put his right leg on the lower rope?
Okay, yeah, when I put my hand on him and I just like, oh, God damn it. No, it's just, it was more of a, yeah, damn it, Bobby. No, it was more of a, it wasn't towards the pin attempt, it was more of the, I knew the end was coming, so I was going to try it. If he wasn't ready yet, he just said no, so he just said do it like slick, and then I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm like, all right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I like working with Columbine, because it's more of a, it's more of a, just a saying, all right, I did this, your turn, throw me, and then get back up. I'm like, all right, do it again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, after you had whipped Columbine into the corner at the 5:55 mark, you gave him a clothesline that actually made him do a full 360 in the air.
You liked that, didn't you?
What's that?
That's like my I love doing that, and that's why I like the Columbine and stuff. He almost oversells it to the point where it's pretty.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why I like doing big punches or clotheslines. It's more of the, I don't have a big flashy move set. It's more of I'm just going to ground and pound and get the pin. If not, I'm going to choke you out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that clothesline that made him do a full 360 in the air, were you a big fan of Jonathan Brett Layfield and his clothesline?
The clothesline from Hell from JBL. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. My favorite one actually was the more recent ones when he made his returns and he hit it on Heath Slater, and the dude standing on his head for a second, for like a whole good 3-4 seconds, and it was gorgeous. I love it. It's, JBL is, it's, I would gladly take that from him any day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I would.
Have you ever drove down to any ring in a Cadillac with Texas Longhorn antlers on the hood of the car?
Have I ever drove to the ring in a Cadillac with antlers on the car?
Yes.
No. I'm not that awesome. I think I'm pretty cool. I've actually had, I did a strip club show, and I had 4 strippers carry my seat out. Does that count?
You mean you were seated in a seat and they picked up all 4 legs of the chair and carried you out of the strip bar?
No, they carried me to the ring, and it was the funniest thing ever, and I loved it, and I just went with it.
Oh. What were the names of the strippers?
I know one, and I loved it. Her name was Angelica, and it was a cute little blonde chick, and that's the only one I was talking to because the other ones were, like, really, really old, and I wasn't digging it. I wasn't digging it.
The other 3 were old and one was young?
One was cute. The other one looked like a mom. The other one definitely had kids, and I wasn't down. Nope, not going.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, at the 6:05 mark, you went for another pin attempt on Columbine, but I have to say this pin attempt was just as lax as the earlier mentioned hand-on-stomach pin attempt.
Yeah.
I am now going to rank this pin attempt at 1 in pin attempt callousness or casualness in all the videos I have watched from October of 2014 till present. Not quite a 2-year period. Yes. Oh, okay. Well, at the 6:37 mark, you hit him with a super kick to the solar plexus, and Columbine landed on his upper shoulders, and indeed, he would have been pinned if the ref counted, because his shoulders remained there for a full 3 seconds. And I was stunned. Now, if you look at this video, you can see a butterfly landing on his lower back while his shoulders were pinned to the mat. Did you see that in this video, a butterfly?
You know, I was a little busy to pay attention to the butterfly, man. I'm sorry. Next time, I'll keep an eye out for some butterflies trying to interfere.
Well, technically, it's the only video I have seen in wrestling where a butterfly could have been declared a winner.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yes. Yes. Well, now you had a better pin attempt this time after the butterfly flew away, but at the count of 2, he kicked out and he put you in a crippler crossface. My question is, were you a big fan of Chris Benoit?
Actually, no, I wasn't. Because I thought he was, like I said, it's not because of what he did. It's the fact of it's just I wasn't a fan of the wrestler. I mean, he was just one of those guys that was rough, that was tough, and he fought people, but it was a little overused, and I thought he could have done better. He was better in the past.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
okay.
It's one of those guys I didn't really watch. I liked watching Jericho. I liked watching Paul London and Brian Kendrick. Those were my favorites. And then I tend to went towards the more violent side. I've been watching Combat Zone since I was like 12.
Ah, Combat Zone Wrestling in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I've always loved that, and I've had the pleasure of working with them a couple times, and I can't wait to go back.
Wow! All right, have you ever had a fluorescent light bulb or tube broken over your back? Fluorescent light bulb.
Yes, I actually have. I did what was it? Yeah, I got the pleasure of working brain damage before he passed. It was with one of those, and it was one of my very, very first ones. And as soon as he slammed me on it, and I got salt poured on my back, and I about cried because I didn't know how to do it. My back was cut up. The dude pours salt on me, and he goes down and touches my guy. He's like, "I'm not doing this anymore. You can pin me right now. I'm laying down."
Wow.
Yeah, it stung. It stung, but I do. Even though it was a little bit, and it was one of my first matches, I do that take that very dearly. That I got the wrestle brain damage before he passed.
Wow, brain damage. Okay. Well, at the 10-minute and 18-second mark of this match, Columbine executed a 1.5 somersault body splash off the top rope, or a 540-degree somersault. But it hurt him as much as it did you, and he wasn't able to cover you quickly. My question is, do you yourself often take off from the top turnbuckle in 540-degree rotational flight?
No, I don't. And for Columbine to do that, it scared me for a second, just staring at him, because I've never seen him do it before. And the only thing I do off the top rope is I have an elbow drop, and then I do tend to kick people from the top rope, and it's more of a jumping kick. In general, I tend to kick people a lot. I try to stay away from the top rope because I have no hand-eye coordination at all. And so when I stand up, I fall down.
Oh, wow.
It's actually quite funny. Yeah.
I see. No hand-eye coordination. I'm going to mark that down in my logbook. Okay.
It's more of a – I have terrible balance, but I'm better on the ground. And if I go to the top rope, I tend to stick with two things because sometimes – sometimes basic is the job done, but as long as it's got enough oomph behind it.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're more inclined to take off from the middle rope. That's what you're saying.
It's more of a, if I do anything, yeah, I'll go from the middle rope or I'll run up the turnbuckle with like holding somebody. But going from the top rope, I tend to not go there just because that's not my thing.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at the 11:51 mark, both of you collide in midair flight while trying to deliver forearms. You both were down on the mat, not moving. The referee began his count at precisely the 11:57 mark. At the count of five, the match was at the 12:09 mark, or 12 seconds after the count began at one.
Yeah.
He reached the 10-second mark at 12:24 for a grand total of a 21-second count. My question is, are you going to give this referee a Rolex timepiece for Christmas that is chronologically set to Greenwich Mean Time for the purpose of precise counts?
Well, like I told the guy inside the match, if you listen to him, I tend to argue with him a little bit. When he learns how to ref, then he can come talk to me because a lot of the match was stupid. And it's like I said, it was a dumb match, but I enjoyed it with Columbine. I really did. The ref was, I don't even know who the ref was. Didn't even know who it was. Couldn't understand him. He sounded like one of those old redneck guys from down south that's like missing half his teeth. And then all they can do is speak out of a little hole in the side of their mouth where they fit their cigarette.
Wow. After the ring announcer rung the bell, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of this match is a no contest." In hindsight, should the result have been no winner due to a double countout?
That should have been. And actually, I don't know how well you guys know up here, but do you guys know Evo at all?
But we got email, yes.
Well, Evo. Evo was ran by Tony Barr that used to run a show out here, and he runs a show actually down towards Logansport now. And it's Tony Barr. He ran it for a while, but if you ask anybody, I know another person who really hates Tony Barr. If you ever ask Mike Musso, you'll hear a good 20-minute rant about how he fucking hates Tony Barr. It's terrible.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you said email.
It's Evo.
Oh, okay, Evo, okay.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, it was cool. It had guys like Brutus Dillon up there. It had everybody like Matt Starr before Bobby Hill decided to get fat and broken. It had good guys starting out there. It gave them a chance to promote it out. It's just Tony Barr. Like I said, I love the man to death, and I almost would do anything for him, but work for him again? Probably no. No.
Oh, okay.
No, probably not, mainly just because at a place where he's at now, Evo can never come back. Evo is like earlier when I was talking about OCWA, it's got to come back by the original people, or you can't do remakes of it.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, after a good show of sportsmanship, you ran across the ring and kneed Columbine in the face, snapping his head back and possibly giving him a concussion. Did you realize at the moment that this might seriously jeopardize your chances of getting a McDonald's Happy Meal gift card for Christmas from Columbine?
See, now you're going to make me cry, because now I'm going to think about it, and if he doesn't give me a Christmas card, I'm definitely going to be mad at him. I mean, if it's a McDonald's gift card, I'd be ecstatic, because I'd call my buddy Stone, who's actually tag-teaming with me right now, and I'm starting out here. I'd call him, say, dude, we're going to McDonald's. I'm buying. Well, technically Columbine is, but he'd be like, I'm down. I'm down.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Wow. All right, well, Jason, I also saw your YouTube video called One World Wrestling Amish versus Hex. Can you confirm that Amish was indeed an extra in the music video Amish Paradise by Weird Al Yankovic?
Was Amish an extra in the music video Amish Paradise?
Yes.
No, but we actually convinced a police officer one day, because he didn't have his license, we convinced him that he was just released from the Amish civilization and we're teaching him how to drive.
Hey!
We did. We got away with a ticket and everything, and he's awesome, but we convinced the cop to do that, and Amish is my buddy.
Wow, that's a good story. Wow.
Yeah.
Have you yourself ever used the song Another One Rides the Bus as your entrance music?
Another One Likes the Bus? Is that what you said?
Another One Rides the Bus by Weird Al Yankovic. Yes.
No, I've never thought of it. I tend to use more music that just tells you I'm going to hurt you. Like, usually, yeah. I mean, something that says you're going to die or something. Heck, I mean, I don't know yet. I'm still picking the songs, but I will keep that down. Another One, what, you said Another One Likes the Bus?
No, Another One Rides the Bus.
Rides the Bus. See, I'm thinking Likes the Bus. Text is terrible. I'm not an interview, and I'm thinking like that. That's redonkulous.
Well, it's a spinoff from Another One Bites the Dust by Queen.
Okay.
Yes. You might want to listen to that Weird Al Yankovic song. You'll laugh. Yes.
I will look into it, and I might use it once and just say, hey, here's a shout-out to you guys.
Oh, that would be quite the honor. Yes. That'd be a huge honor. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, last Friday we had on Australian native Wallaby Joe, who is now living in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
He confirmed what I already researched and Anthony Totelli gave his stamp of approval on, and that is to the sounds of Aboriginal instruments, groups
okay.
of Australian Aborigines will have dance-offs against each other while wearing American heavy metal t-shirts. My question is, could you see yourself in a dance-off with Amish as he wears or represents Megadeth while you wear a Pantera shirt?
What was the last t-shirt?
Pantera.
Okay, if I was in a dance-off with Amish, he was wearing a Megadeth t-shirt and I was wearing Pantera, I think we would get angry at each other and start punching each other in the no-no square.
Oh. Well, now you see, Jason, this can't happen because in Australian Aboriginal dance-off, with a dirigidoo accompaniment, there is no violence. Strictly dances.
There's no violence? But,
yes.
But, okay, there's no violence. I think, okay, if we did have a dance-off, the dance-off would be terrible. It'd be more of just these fat guys going left and right, sticking their thumbs up, going doo-wop-dee-doo.
Oh, okay.
It's all right.
Are you yourself familiar with the Australian dirigidoo?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it has its moments. It sounds like a whale moaning, but it's all good.
Oh, okay. Now, you told Sign Guy that being a generational wrestler, that you had some big shoes to fill. How big are your dad's shoes and our wrestling boots?
And our wrestling boots? I don't know about wrestling boots. It was more of a my dad went towards the manager wise and stuff like that. I don't know if you guys know him. His name is Mark Real. And then actually my uncle is Erico, and when I was wrestling with Erico, it was more of those shoes I had to fill. And as soon as I showed up on my first show, it was everything. All right, Erico does this move. I want to see if you can do it. Dude, I sat and super kicked. Actually, a guy you had on your show, I think it was a week or two ago or a couple weeks, Matt Starr, I sat and kicked him for like a half hour, just super kick him, super kick him. I was so done with it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Wow. All right. Well, are you afraid of contracting the Zika virus when you're wrestling outdoors?
When I'm wrestling outdoors? No,
yes.
I tend to not think of that. Hex is more of the, during the match, out of nowhere, you're going to hear, damn it, Hex, don't jump off that. So I tend to not think stuff about viruses. I caught a cold once.
Oh, okay.
I blame my boot sweat from that, and I think it's a real disease, and I'm going to start a hashtag with it that wrestlers' feet stink.
Oh, wow, okay.
They do. They smell terrible. Oh, my God.
Well, a little bit of Dr. Scholl's odor eaters will cure that, yes.
You need something stronger than that, like some turpentine and some fiber fix.
Dang, okay. Have you ever considered being a lucha wrestler called Zika X?
Zika X?
Yes.
No, I'm actually trying to. I'm learning the lucha style right now, which is pretty cool because I've gotten the pleasure to work with a couple of lucha shows down towards Missouri and then a couple in Tennessee, and then I loved it. I loved the aspect of how real it sounded. It was just wrestling and the impact. And dude, I would love it. I'd love to go down and do lucha. I mean, if anything, I don't want to go big name. I just want to do lucha. That's pretty cool.
Oh, okay, all right. You may consider Zika X in the future, yes.
I'm actually really consider that because even my buddies are saying, you know, that's not a bad role. Like, eh, that's not bad.
Oh,
not
okay.
Bad. I'll put that down on my agenda.
Oh, okay, well, all right. Well, now, Jason, what's the hardest you have ever been hit by a lady wrestler with a knife-edged chop?
Dory. The hardest I've ever been hit by a chick. Do you want to know who?
Yes.
It was Happy Loveless. We were doing chops and Hex. I tend to do a lot of striking moves and stuff like that. And she was during practice one day and she just wanted to take it because she can sell beautifully. And then she hit me back and dude, I could feel the blood trickling through my shirt. It hurt. It hurt bad. She caught me over the nipple, and I think it popped a woody just a minute. Not a lot, but just a minute. She is kind of cute, though.
Wow, okay. All right.
I'm sorry, guys. Like I said, Hex, I've been looking forward to this interview for a week. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this.
Oh, that's good. Well, Jason, as mentioned before, we had on Wallaby Joe, and I mentioned that I am trying to start a movement to nickname the knife-edged chop given by Australian women the Sheila chop, because in Australia they call their women Sheilas. Yes, Sheila chop.
The Sheila chop? Dude, that sounds like something Uncle Colin would do. Just out of nowhere, she just comes running and smacks you, and it's the Sheila chop. Sorry.
Yes.
No, I will sign that petition if there is one. I will sign it, because a buddy of mine works in Australia right now, Craven, and he says the same thing, and he tells it about all the time, and he's a cool dude to work with.
Wow, all right, okay. Well, I think quest to have the Sheila chop named is gaining steam. Yes, very nice. Okay.
Expect a hashtag. I'll even throw up a hashtag and tag you in it later.
All right. Well, Jason, it was good talking with you. I hope you enjoy your mashed potatoes and gravy, and I'm giving it back to Sign Guy.
That works, brother.
Okay, back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Hex, one of the things that I'm sure has come up for you in the course of your career, and it's been a pretty big topic in general for pro wrestling recently, is concussions. We have learned a lot more on the effects of concussions and the long-term effects of concussions. For independent wrestling, do you think that there's anything that can be or should be done to try to prevent concussions or to prevent people from worsening the conditions of a concussion?
There's two sides of me talking right now, and you've got the actual person who sits at home and takes care of my kid thinking like, all right, just don't be fancy. Don't try to overdo yourself, flip a guy four ways and do a move you know you can't do, but you want to just because it looks pretty. And Hex is sitting here like, don't be a dumbass. I mean, it's sometimes slow and methodical doesn't mean you got to do all these things to put a guy out of personal experience. And I can say this because I'm messed up in the head, dude. Everyone's got their war stories and stuff like that. But yeah, concussions are no joke. It's just people got to be safe. And just because you want to take it over the bar and do a 5-star every single time, you don't necessarily have to do it. Just because if the psychology works, it's amazing.
Now, have you personally ever been in a match where the effect happens where you have a concussion or a possible concussion, don't really remember the match, but had one of the greatest matches of your entire life?
I could say that out of anything personal. I've had a concussion during a match and I felt it, and I worked Rob Kincaid for IWF, and just after the match I'm sitting there like, dude, I nothing. Then he couldn't even tell you what happened, anything. Four or five people come up, dude, that was awesome. You guys were beating the hell out of each other. It looked amazing. So yeah, I don't know what it is. It's I'm not gonna say the full word because I know it's bad, but it's like a second charge strength kicks in. You like go Hulk and just try to fight till the end.
You told QT that Heidi Lovelace gave you the most devastating chop from a female, and I can definitely see that. On the male side of things, whom would you say delivers the most devastating knife edge chop?
The most devastating knife edge chop that I've taken?
Yes.
Oh, let's see. I've pissed off a lot of guy workers. No, the most terrible one I've taken would probably have to be, it'd be Ryan Epic. I felt it in my toes. It's one of those that it left me off the ground. I felt it down deep in my groin. That dude hit me like for nothing. It wasn't really for nothing. I think I stiffed him back, but I was a rookie. I still am, but it had to be Ryan Epic.
Now, one of the people that has one of the most devastating chops that I've seen is in your area. You've probably come across Bobo Brazil Jr. Have you ever seen anyone with bigger hands than the ones that Bo possesses?
I actually have a story with that one. It was back in IWF with TJ Powers. It was I wouldn't take a shot from Bobo, and Nick Cutler did it. And then I'm like, cool, you can have it. I'm not doing it. won't let that guy chop me. I've heard some horror stories. Nope. as soon as you went for it, I'm like, nope, done. Tag. Tag.
Might have been the wisest choice for your lungs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already a smoker. I don't need to lose a lung. I'm going to lose one soon anyway, but I'd like to keep it right now.
Speaking about lungs, I know that you've been in some longer matches in your day. What would you say has been the longest match that you've ever had?
Yesterday, I'll talk about this. Yesterday, it's more of a I wouldn't call it a match. It's more of a it's my family. We're all wrestlers, and we actually all have a household where we all stay together and we do shows. And then when we settle disputes in the house, we wrestle. And I think by the 15-minute mark, people were screaming, 2-minute warning, 2-minute warning. By the time it hit a half hour, 45 minutes of us just hitting each other, it's just stopped. It's my brother's, man. That's probably the longest match. I look forward to the next one. I do. I look forward to the next one. We're already talking today about having another one.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
What do you do as far as training and getting into ring shape and able to go that long?
I go to a lot of out of Michigan City. There's a gym out there, and this is where my uncle Eric took me. It was Double D's boxing gym, and they had a ring up there, and then we would just for hours just sit and run. And then with me and my brothers, we get in a ring, we do that together with each other, and we just run matches full on, full through. And so when it times to come to shows, like for a show coming up, I think it's Sick Minded Wrestling. I don't know which one it is, but I'm going to be making my return back up to Northern Indiana soon, and I'm looking forward to that.
Now, for your own personal opinion, and I know there's a lot of this out there, who do you think makes the best looking ring gear that's out there right now?
Who makes the best looking ring gear?
Yes.
Just because with Bobby sitting here next to me, he's been telling us too. I've had gear made by him, so it's going to have to be Steve Wilson, Osiris.
That is a very correct answer, yes.
And I'm not going to lie, I've had gear made by him, yeah. Just because it's Osiris, I'll spend the money to get gear made by him. I mean, yeah, I will in a heartbeat any day of the week. I mean, like I said, you can't leave out other guys, though. There's tons of guys out there. I know Jen makes gear for a little bit. I don't know if he still does it. He makes okay gear. He does. He makes good gear himself. But I think out of best, I'd go to O.
I would concur with that. One of the dying aspects of pro wrestling in the last several years has been midget wrestling. It used to be very common to see midget matches on about every show. Now it's very rare that you see it. Do you come across very many midget matches?
I've had one, and it was against POD, and it was in Illinois, and it was actually on the outside. I did a lot of strip club shows. It was in the parking lot of the Silver Bullet in Champaign. And he had these girls come out, and then Hex was working, and Hex looked at somebody, and I don't know what the rating is on this word, but I called her a C word, and then God doesn't love strippers, and he headbutted me in the area, and it was hard enough to make me jump off the ground and like fall down, and they're evil. they are evil. They are evil little people. They're amazing workers, but damn. Like one of those, God damn it, just stand still.
Well, I know that you've also worked for several different companies, which means you've worked for several different bookers as well.
Yeah.
Just throwing a few names out there, who would you say are some of the better bookers that you've come across?
The better bookers? Because I know, because yes, Hex had a little bit of heat with everybody, and it was the past, and I'm not going to lie, I did some messed up stuff in the past, but I'm working better towards now. The better booker to look forward to, and I get that to everybody, and everybody who's looking for bookings out here, get a hold of Eric King. Eric King will get you bookers, also with guys like Jerry Wilson, and then you got the guys who help you do, I think it's Strong Style? Yeah, Strong Style works too, and I would look for those three guys out here, and those three guys right now are the names we're looking for.
Oh, I know that you've been around for a little while, and you're just getting to start back up again. But in your opinion, who are some of the younger talents in your area that you think are going to be the stars in the next couple of years?
The younger talents, who I think?
Yeah, the guys that are just starting now that in a few years are going to be the stars of the independence in your area.
The stars of the independent, I mean, I see, that's a hard one because there's tons of guys out there. I know there's one out here in South Bend, and I say this every day, and he's a punk kid, but so am I. It'd be Tim Tyson. And then there's another one, and he's sitting over there. He goes by last name Silver, and I can't tell him any other word because he's going to smack me because we have a thing in house rule. If you break kayfabe, and we're not allowed to use our real names. And I really don't feel like getting smacked today.
I don't blame you. It's like a Bobo Brazil Jr. chop.
Oh, dude, it's terrible. And we have to take it. It doesn't matter if we're in public, at work, anything. Yeah, I don't feel like breaking a house rule right now.
Speaking of the house rules, there's a lot of traditions in professional wrestling, such like wiping your boots before you enter the ring, shaking everyone's hand before and after the shows. Were you taught things like that as part of your training, or being second generation, was that something that you basically understood before even getting into the business?
The second part would be more towards me. I understood the respect, and I knew before I even showed up, the respect given is respect earned. And if I knew how to do it, they were going to know that I knew it. I knew about it, and they were going to look at me a little differently. Because even in my eyes now, if you don't do the little things like that, like you were talking about, that just, you're rude to me in the match, and it's no respect towards me in general, I think. It's more of the respect of a clean match, and I understood it before. It's like it was taught, like somebody, like a kid learns how to speak. I was taught the respect.
Well, we have a few minutes left in the show, and I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, if you want to plug and promote anything and everything, your upcoming appearances, your social media, merchandise, your favorite big shop, anything, floor is all yours.
I mean, if anything, I just want to, because like I said, now I'm sitting with the family, and that's what the aspect is with everything. And it's like every wrestler is going to promote, like, oh, catch me at this show. No, I'm just going to tell people to watch out, because Hex is coming back, and when everybody knows Hex is coming back, everybody knows I'm actually going to be running under a tag team as Misguided Fortune with my tag team partner who's sitting here, if you want to say hi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What's up, man?
How's it going?
It's going, man. It's going.
This is an interview. Talk about us. Talk about the fact that we're bringing the fact of wrestling back to where it needs to be. The fact of the guys who are doing this just because they want to. not because everybody's getting too big-headed and my tights don't fit, and I've actually had a place give me a bowl full of green M&Ms because I threw a bitch fit about it. yeah, Tone C. Sorry.
Yes.
No, it's the fact of is I want to bring back wrestling to where it used to be. People enjoyed it. People enjoyed coming out. Not the drama, not the behind the scenes stuff. I make the match look good because this pays my bills. I mean, you give it to guys who like, and I'll put it like this: you give it guys like Brutus Dillon up in South Bend here. I love the guy so much, but the issue with that is he's irrelevant. He's irrelevant because the fact is Hex owned the place and Hex owned everything, and I ruled everything I got my hands on, but it's still the fact that when I left, I won it back. So just look for everybody out there when they know Hex is coming real soon.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm very spoken on my word, and I guarantee you more than one person is going to hear about this tonight, and I just want to tell everybody hi. Hi, Liz. See, there's an issue with the whole Liz thing about it. If you guys ever grace me with your presence, I'll tell you that story about the awkward three-way I had with Brutus Dillon's wife.
Ooh, that sounds nice. Like an interesting tale right there.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get a house rule for this one, guys. Oh! Oh, man.
Well, Hex, it was a pleasure having you on today. We appreciate you coming on the show. We would love to have you back in the future. I will definitely ask Kid for some stories the next time I talk to him.
I look forward to hearing about it.
Good luck with your dance-off.
Thanks, man. Y'all be easy now.
Yes.
All right. Well, fans, when Hex gets back, make sure you go see what he's all about. Buy a ticket. Support him. And we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have all the way from Idaho, Bryce Bennett with us. Should be out. Standing show Sunday. We will talk to you then.
Just before.